Blog Talk Radio.
I do get that check, then I go.
Yo, yo. Collective Minds Radio. We back in the building. It's your host, Brother Kevin, with Love Lachey and Mufasa Ra. What's up, y'all?
What's Collective up? Minds.
What's the deal? How everybody doing?
Man, we doing good. That was our new intro music. Y'all cut it off too early. We supposed to let the word
right,
hear
yeah.
our new intro for a few minutes, y'all. We'll get them next week.
Yeah, that's you want to give a shout out to your boy, Young Pharaoh?
Yeah, shout out to Young Pharaoh. Young Pharaoh say we could pump his music up. He got that conscious minded music. His mixed CD, catch him on Dat Piff. Young Pharaoh, the name of the mix CD is, I forgot the name that quick. I'll be ready next week, y'all. Now that I get it to y'all for us over with.
Yeah, we'll hit him with it, no problem, Mufasa.
But just look him up there.
All right. We got any shout outs or any announcements, I mean, we want to make? Before we get started, actually, I do got a quick announcement that I'll let you go, Love Lachey. And then y'all can help me with this, too. I think we're coming up on a one-year anniversary, if I'm correct, in December, January. Is that right?
Yes, it's true. In January.
Okay, so yeah. So I just want to let, you know, the listeners and the family know to be on the lookout for that one-year anniversary. It's coming up in a month in January. You know, we probably do something special for that particular show. And, yeah, that's my only announcement. So I just wanted to get my co-host or get the other host to put that in their ear as far as the anniversary coming up. But
okay.
Go ahead, Lil Lachey.
Yeah. I got a shout. A shout to my stepson. He had his baby shower today, having his first seed, a baby girl. So I'm going to be a pawpaw for the second time, y'all. So, shouts to my boy.
Congratulations.
Turner.
No doubt.
Him and his expecting mother to be. And by the way, just so I can clarify from earlier, that Young Pharaoh mix CD is called It's Levels to This Shift. So, look that up on that piff. Young Pharaoh, It's Levels to This Shift.
No doubt. Indeed. Love, let's say you have any announcements.
No, I don't believe I do. Actually, you know, I do. And I can say this again also leading up to it, but Christmas is coming up. I know there's a lot of people that is on the fence when it comes to celebrating holidays and things like that. But I am doing a charity event, and charity can't be in home because people are always and me, so I actually enjoy doing charitable events and being able to give back to my community and different communities. But we are doing a Skate for the Homeless, a Sweetie Pie Skate for the Homeless, actually. So for any listeners that enjoy skating or just want to be part of giving back to the community, we are having a skating party on Monday, December 11th, and it is from 9 to midnight. But you get in free with any gifts that we will donate to a homeless shelter for the Christmas holiday. So it'll be items such as socks, blankets, T-shirts, toiletries, coats, whatever you can do, whatever you can bring. And even if you can't make the event, there will be a designated location where you can still drop off items that will still be able to get to the shelter. And I'll be providing more information on that, too. So be on the lookout for that. The skate is called Skate for the Homeless.
Okay. That's dope. That's dope. We always want to get back and help the people that's less fortunate. So that's dope, love, Lachey. So shout out to you, Sweetie Pies, and Miss Robbie for, you know, putting on that event for the less fortunate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's real cold.
That is true. Wintertime is hard, especially, you know what I'm saying, if you're homeless, and winter is it's coming, although it was a beautiful day today. That winter is still coming, you know what I mean? So it's good to help out, you know, help out where we can. So
yeah.
That is dope. All right, and then
shout out also to Miss Robbie. Yes, that's personal from Mufasa Ra.
I see you. No doubt. So, all right. So, today on Collective Minds, we're talking about corporal punishment. Basically, we want to put it in and frame it in the context of whooping your kids. But corporal or physical punishment is a punishment intended to cause physical pain, typically mainly on minors. It used to be commonly practiced in homes and school settings. So do y'all think it is an effective way to guide children, to discipline children? Do y'all think corporal punishment is an effective way? So this was a family call up if y'all want to chime in. Do you agree or disagree with whooping your kids? The number is 929-477-1697. And I guess we'll start with Love Lachey. What you think about corporal punishment? Do you beat your kids? Do you beat them?
Well, I don't beat them, thank God. I never had to, but if I have to go there, I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, if I'm not, I don't agree with corporal punishment if it's going to be abusive, because I think the reason that it became an issue for our society in the homes and in school settings is because people were being abusive. And sometimes, you know, because we are human, adults and teachers and things like that who really administer the corporal punishment, they're human, and sometimes they just do things out of anger, and it's not really within that in their spirit at that time to really guide the kid. It's more so you mad and you teaching them a lesson. So I'm not for abuse, and I don't mind it, but if it's going to be applied or implemented with wisdom and love, then I say it's nothing wrong with a spanking or peddling, you know, whooping, or however you choose to do it. I'm for that, but I'm not for parents that may abuse their power, or anybody that just may abuse their power and just be abusive with it. But if you want, if you have a child that's out of control, hey, I say it's okay. I'm for it. I'm not going to say no. But with the school system, though, I will say I do feel a little bit different with school. I don't think it should be in school settings. I don't. Not when it comes to an actual physical punishment. I don't think teachers should really administer physical punishing tactics to our children. I think by the time they're in school setting, it should be unnecessary for a teacher to have to whoop a child. I think the child should learn a certain form of discipline and learn how to behave and home training from home. So by the time they are out in public, whether it's a school setting, a church setting, mosque, whatever, I don't think anybody should be at the point where they have to put hands on your child. And I wouldn't trust it, because teachers, especially nowadays, and I'm sure always have been, because people are just people regardless, you just never know when somebody is not being right. Teachers have a disconnect from their kids, so my concern would be that one teacher or teachers that may just try to call themselves disciplining my child with physical action just because maybe they mad or they don't like my kid or something like that. And then in that case, I don't think it's not a fair punishment. If it's something that I feel is done constructively and within love and reason, I'm okay with it. But to not even have to deal with all those judgments and those other things, I would say just maybe not for the school setting per se, but I'm totally fine with a parent doing it. It's like but still within reason. I think I never had to get on my kids like that. You know, I tried to instill in them a little fear early on where whoopings wasn't really that necessary.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Yeah, I definitely feel that. You dig? CMR, Mufasa Ra. You beat your
well,
kid.
Well. Well, let's say this. Okay, first off, just for clarity, you know, corporal punishment can be, it's for anybody. Now, I know
right now.
We're mostly talking about children, but corporal punishment can go down for anybody.
Right.
And there's some people, grown folks, yeah, need to get a little corporal punishment too. You know, when I'm sitting up, you know, I'm riding down the street, or if I'm somewhere in a peaceful setting and a bunch of teenagers come up and they loud and cussing and disrespectful and acting like they ain't got no sense, right then the time, I feel like that's a good time for some corporal punishment to be handed out. They don't need no talking to. They need to get hemmed up and some beat just to get their mind right. That's what I think. So I'm down with corporal punishment. People need it. Now, as far as children go, yep, some of these bad kids that their parents and let them get out of control and they don't know how to behave, don't know how to sit down in class and disrupting the class, other students in there trying to learn. Kids can't pay attention because you got these fools. You got one or two fools in there just acting a monkey. Yeah, the teacher should be allowed to tap their hand, tap their tail, sit them down. You know, when I was in school as a kid, teachers had permission to get on the child's head. Sometimes the parents ain't quick enough. You know what I'm saying? They can't get up there and handle business. They probably busy. They could be busy working, busy doing, Lord knows what, their hands is already tied. So sometimes, you know, that teacher is right there that can go ahead and get out, get them kids in line, take control of the class, you know, make a mind. So just like with anything, any position of authority, you know, you have to be properly trained. You know, so if you're going to give that power to the teachers, then, yeah, they got to be trained in when and when not to administer this punishment. But I feel, it's a good tactic to nip stuff in the bud ASAP. You know what I'm saying? Because that's like the parent. When your kids is at school, is in this teacher's classroom, that's the adult in the classroom. That's almost like they extension of home. They at home. They the parents in that classroom. So them kids is getting out of line, yeah, you should put it down. Now, when your kids at home, and you didn't talk to them, you didn't told them what to do, you didn't gave them time out and all that, and they still don't want to get right, hey, you got to go ahead and pull that stick out the closet, that extension cord. No, let me not say that. I take that back. I'm sorry. I didn't mean extension cord. Take that.
They'll call the peoples on you.
Out the closet or get that house shoe and get them in line. Because if you don't, let's think, if you don't get your kid in line and they grow up and they continue to have this pattern of bad behavior and not wanting to listen to an authoritative person, next thing you know, they got on the streets, and if a police officer try and tell them, give them a command or something, and they don't want to listen, I mean, they setting you setting your child up to be murdered because the police ain't gonna play with your baby. You know, they gonna they got the right to execute your child, unfortunately. So I feel like it's best to go ahead and get him in line, young, train him up, show him how to concede and give in when they need to. Because if not, once they get out in them streets, you know, a police officer could kill them for not obeying certain laws and commands. So I'm for it. Long story short, I'm for it. Ain't nothing wrong with a little corporal punishment going down when it's needed, when necessary.
Right, right, indeed. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with corporal punishment, especially as it relates to the kids. You know what I'm saying? Because, one, I think about, like, how effective is it really? You know what I'm saying? Because we all know we didn't got beat or know kids that grew up, you know, getting whoopings and getting beat, and how effective was that punishment for them. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to ask, you know, what is the reason behind corporal punishment, especially within the black community? A lot of people say that it goes back to slavery. And like Mufasa had mentioned, we took it upon ourselves to discipline our kids more strictly because we didn't want, you know, the master to get them or the police or the overseer or somebody, you know, somebody else in authority to check them. So within the black community, you know, some people talk about post-traumatic slavery syndrome, to where we beat our kids on the strength of we didn't want nobody else to beat them. You know what I mean? We knew how harsh it was for black people, so we were extra hard on our kids, you know. So that's just one theory. That's just some of the things that I be thinking about when we talk about, you know, actually corporal punishment. And then I think that there has to be a way to discipline kids without physically harming them. I just think maybe we haven't figured it out. Maybe we've progressed as a society. You know what I mean? Maybe we just ain't come up with the answer. But I do believe if you start early with the kid, there's a way that you can, you know, discipline a kid without actually physically harming them. You know what I'm saying? I just think we just maybe as a society, like I said, we ain't figured it out. But, you know, if you look at ancient societies, I don't, you know, recall, like, I don't know how they discipline the kids, but, you know, maybe we need to look at some of their tactics, you know what I'm saying, as far as how they handle the kids. But, yeah, or whatever. I mean, it may be a few things, but I truly believe, though, if you hop on them early and, like, you know, a little tap here, a little tap there, stop, you know, a little pinch here, a little pinch there, I think that's the line for me. Anything else, especially with me, I have a little girl, so with me, anything beyond, you know, a little tap or something, I'm a little reluctant to do. You know what I mean? But that's just me.
And because I'm in the I can say later. Well, let's go to the call lines real fast and see what a caller got to say. Get a little interaction. Let's take caller area code 336-965. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, caller.
Thanks for calling in, caller. Peace.
Hello, how are you?
You're fine. How are you
doing?
Doing
well.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Blessed.
That's
okay.
Great.
I was going to talk about corporate punishment. I think what it is, you have to raise your child from the beginning. You have to be very consistent in what you're doing. And the Bible do says, spare the rod for the child. But it doesn't mean to beat the child or corporate punishment. I think that's kind of extreme when y'all say corporate punishment. And a teacher's not there to time trying to raise someone else's kid to obey her. And I think it should be right. done in home. But you have to be consistent. And I grew up with a lot of kids who was beaten by their parents. They still turn out to be bad kids. So
right.
beating doesn't make a child good. All it does is make them worse sometimes, you know. So you have to be careful, but it's very consistent what you're saying. If you tell your child no, it should be no. And don't waver or waver and do something else in a couple of minutes, the child is getting away with it. Because you have to be consistent what you're doing with them children. And that's what's wrong with the world
right.
now. They let them have too much freedom. And you have to take some of that freedom away from the kid. It would not hurt that child to say no, stay in the house, and you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't go there. It's not going to kill them or hurt them. But sometimes kids need a spanking, and there's nothing wrong
right.
with spanking your child. But you have to do it early. You can't wait till that child gets 10, 11, 12 years old and see you
right.
spank him and beat him and do all this and you're ready to kill him. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So you have
exactly.
to be very consistent in what you're doing and raising your child and telling your child no at times. And I know sometimes it's hard. People say you shouldn't tell your kid no, but sometimes you might have to because they say, well, girls, if you tell a girl no, 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 she's going to find a man that says yes, yes, yes. And I understand that, but it all depends on how you tell that child no. So I think corporate punishment is kind of extreme. Okay, that's my point of view.
Indeed,
let me say,
yeah.
I want to say this because I heard you said something and kind of went in line with what Brother Kevin said earlier, and I didn't get a chance to respond.
Uh-huh.
When y'all say that it don't work. Now, I have to say that
right.
you have to know what type of child or person you're dealing with because we all are different. So what may work for some may not work for others, you know. In some situations, it could be someone that did respond well to a spanking or a butt whooping. So we really can't just categorize and say that all kids don't respond to getting spankings. Because some do. Some grow up and be thankful.
Oh, they
that
do.
They
right,
do.
Right. No, we didn't say all. Yeah, we didn't say all,
right,
but
right.
some do.
Oh,
but
oh.
some get spankings and turn out and keep going harder or turn out to...
Mm-hmm.
To rebel more, you know what I'm saying? Some kids get spankings and rebel more. You know,
said corporate punishment. Corporate punishment is a lot different than somebody spanking your child or something like that. When you say corporate punishment, that's not your extreme because people don't know how far they can go. Some parents beat their children so badly with sticks and bricks and anything they can. And when you
mm-hmm.
say corporate punishment, that's kind of strict. So you can't say, I would never say yes to corporate punishment because people don't understand it.
mm-hmm.
You know,
right, right. That's why I was saying that. That's why I was saying I was wanting to keep it in context that it's more than just kids. It's for anybody. You know, corporate punishment
right.
Can be for adults as well.
Oh,
right.
yeah.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and if you think about it, like, say you're interrogating people. You know, I'm sure they use corporal punishment when they interrogating a captive or, you know, some type of war situation, a war crime or not.
Right.
So
yeah.
it has its purposes in different situations.
Right.
It has its
yeah.
Needs. You know.
Indeed.
Yeah. You know, but like someone had mentioned too, everybody is different. Every child is different. We have exceptions to every rule. But
right.
I do agree with what Brother Kevin was saying that and the caller said, if we start young, you know, I think that totally limits the risk. You know, it puts the
right.
risk way down. Yeah, there will be some exceptions where, you know, a kid may have some sort of off thing on or chemically imbalanced where he may not get things in a more common way. So you may have to try different techniques. But I do think that it can be other techniques outside of physical punishment. too, that can also get the kid back online. You know, but again, I'm not saying that I'm totally against spankings and physical, you know, punishment if you need to, you know, get a belt, things like that. I'm not saying I'm totally against it. But I would like to see other methods and other ways to be able to communicate, because I think that is still kind of a little barbaric.
Don't cut the tablecloth. I don't want you to cut the tablecloth. Put on the table.
Now,
put on the table.
I would like to see other ways and methods to be able to persuade our kids to do things outside of just saying, you know, whooping them and things like that. I would like to see another way, because I think that it could be other ways. Like I said, I'm thankful that I didn't have to beat my kids. I like to believe that I started with them, too, at a very, very young age, and I definitely think that is a key. That's why I was saying earlier that by the time they get to schools and things like that and really start interacting with society, they should already have learned how to behave. They, you know, their home training should be up to par enough where another person shouldn't need to whoop your kid. When they go to school, it shouldn't be necessary for that to happen.
Right, but unfortunately, we know how society is, and kids are, you know, some kids be at home by themselves.
And a lot of parents are children themselves.
Yeah, and a lot of kids, children themselves.
Yeah,
so
they haven't grown up enough to raise a child. They let the child do whatever they want to do because the child is in control.
That's the case. And that's an issue then. So mainly it would seem like punishments and physical punishment and things like that is a result to the parents not being there then. So if we focus on parenting then, you know, then will it be a need for physical punishment if we have better parenting then, if that's the case?
I don't think you have a need. Physical punishment. I don't have to be able to talk to a child, sit them down, and find what you.
I've seen some kids that's unreachable.
I don't think no one's unreachable. I think a lot of people give.
Now they reachable. They reachable once they feel that pain.
No, that's not true. That doesn't make them reachable. They might. It depends on the person and the children. It depends on how you respond to that child. Because kids know the difference. They know when somebody really cares about them and when somebody's just doing it for a job or for the money. So it all depends.
Yeah. Unreachable. I mean, I do think that there are some kids that, now if we're just going to speak just current time, or we're going to just speak in general, I guess we will have to speak in both ways
let's talk current time.
We do have a lot of kids that are chemically altered and just kind of at a dysfunction because of drug use and environments and things like that.
Yeah, all that.
Kind of the foods and all that stuff kind of cause them to have a different, you know, your chemicals are off. So it's almost like they, you know, they broke. It's like, you know, they almost like a defect. And you have to figure out what is the defect, and then try to fix them so that way it can be easily, because to be able to just talk to a kid and change them, that is more of a if we're going to do that, we're talking about, you know, just the typical standard kid.
She's talking?
No, not a defective kid.
Where did
you go? I'm saying I'm only using the word defective just by saying you have some kids that have chemical imbalance.
Can you mute the caller line? Because I can't.
Hey, Jason.
Hello.
Yeah, so You know, I'm only using the word defective just because I'm saying that some kids have been born or come out with chemical imbalances, which causes them to act a little bit abnormal or different from the typical kid that may not suffer from those same chemical imbalances. You know, they may respond and react to emotions different. Their emotions may cause them to do things a little bit differently. But I think with the proper training and supervision, those things can still be redirected.
Exactly. And that's why if you start early, then you won't, there shouldn't be a need for physical punishment when they, you know, preteens on up to, you know, teenage years and all that. There shouldn't be any need for physical punishment after that point, because the lines of communication should be established. You know, boundaries should be set, consequences in place if you, you know, do this, do that. And they should have understanding, you know, by 8, 9, 10, if you start early to where, you know, those resulting in physical harm or corporal punishment on a kid shouldn't be necessary or wouldn't be necessary, in my opinion. But I think the problem today is we just got a lot of dysfunctions in the family. And like Love Lachey mentioned, chemical imbalance. You got drugs. You got ADHD, all these different type of things that they label the kids with, hyperactivity and all this other type of stuff. And they've given them drugs and all type of stuff. So there are a lot of cases where kids is, you know, may not listen when they get in class, you know, depending on what's going on. So, but then even still, to me, in that case, I don't think that warrants physical punishment. You know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you. So after you didn't talk, say you've done this talking and this counseling and that stuff don't work, you guys would rather see the child get medicated getting a swift kick in their tail? Because I say it's like, that's like, to me, that's like shock therapy. We didn't told you stop doing it. Look, little Johnny, stop. Stop, Johnny.
Right.
Johnny, don't do that. You shouldn't do it because this is, Johnny, don't do that. Then finally you say, bop! Slap Johnny upside his hand, his backside. He's like, ooh, I didn't like that feel. I felt that. See, that let Johnny know, if I do continue to do this, I'm going to feel something that's unpleasant to me. So,
in some situations, they need it. Well, okay, now let me ask you this. In the case of little Johnny, what does he keep getting into? Like, what is the thing? Like, this, paint the scenario. Like, what does he keep bothering?
All right, here goes.
And you tell him
what to do. Here goes the scenario. You're in class. Say Johnny is a freshman in high school. No, I won't even go that old. Well, I'll take it down to Johnny in the fifth grade. Teacher trying to teach a class. Johnny throwing paper. Johnny is the teacher trying to teach. He have an outburst. Doing stuff like
Johnny
that.
Johnny wants some attention.
You know what I'm saying? People trying to write next to Johnny. He knocking their pencil out of his hand. Teacher tell him go get in the corner. He go get in the corner. He still have an outburst while he's standing in the corner. She tell him to go out of my class. He tell her, no, I ain't going. That type of behavior. So somebody got to physically pull little Johnny out. But I'm looking at it like before it even get to that point, when I told Johnny, look, Johnny, sit down and stop now. We're trying for us to pay attention. Johnny, that's enough. Before it get to the point where I'm going to throw him out, Johnny, come here. Let me come in the coat room. Y'all remember the coat rooms?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I don't
know
if y'all had coat room, yeah. Take Johnny in that coat room and tell him to hold his hands out and hit him with that strap. That might get his attention. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay, so how would you get him to the coat room if you can't get him to walk out the room?
Grab him up physically. Physically.
Okay.
And begin to administer that corporal punishment. And then when he realized ain't nobody going to save him, he might get it together. I mean, I'm just saying, like we said earlier, everybody is different. All people are different. But in a lot of situations, that does work. You hem this fool up, get his mind right, then he know, okay, if I act out, I'm going to be feeling pain. You know, and then there's other students that see that, and they already know they don't want to feel no pain. So they're like, look, I ain't trying to go down that path that you going down. I don't want that. You know, a lot of children fear the physical pain over talking to. Some kids take that as a joke. They'll play with that.
Right. That's why, and on top of the talking to, you would take some away that they like to do. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what I mean? That's just a part of, that's just something else you throw into the game, you know, the game of parenting. You would just take away some if they don't, or that they like to do. See how that works. You know, Johnny might play football. You keep it up. You know, no football. You can't go outside after school. I mean, it's just a whole effort and a whole, you know, different scenarios that you can do depending on what Lil Johnny into,
mm-hmm,
or what the kid into. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I will say this. In the case of Lil Johnny in fifth grade and he not listening, I'm okay with somebody snatching him by the, I'm okay with that because I think that by that age, I realize that if he's doing it, there's still other issues, though. It could be that he needs attention. It could be other things, too. But by that age, he, you know, he's already kind of messed up. So in order to be able to get his attention, you may have to do something like snatching him up and snatching him out, physically taking him out the room. But my only concern, though, with that is if it's going to be truly done by whoever's doing the snatching up, that it's really somebody that, you know, that have his best interest at heart and not somebody that's just mad because you ain't listening to me, you know, and getting their own feelings involved, because that's a very common problem when it comes to parents even whooping kids. It's not whooping their own kids. It's like you whooping them when you mad. Well, actually, whooping, it shouldn't be about you being mad or nothing. It should be about if this child did something wrong, you know, whether you, it shouldn't be about you mad, so you whooping them. It's because the child just
right.
did something. You're trying to get them to see it in this in a way like that. You know, you shouldn't be like hitting them because you're mad at the same time. You know, so I do think
right.
that I think the reason that this became an issue in the first place because people abuse power. Unfortunately, that's really what it's about. People abuse power. Hurt people too, whether it's a kid or not. And a lot of times, parents, teachers, whomever who's in that position to administer any type of physical punishment towards whether it's the kid or whomever is used 9 times out of 10 in an incorrect way. Is not because my concern is when you begin to do it when it's not really sincere. You just beating them till you ain't mad no more. Till you just like shoot, I'm gonna show you. Or something like that, you know. So in those cases,
that's
where it becomes a problem with me.
Right, and that's the problem with it because a lot of times that happens. Like we see that with like inmates and COs. You know, the COs be letting the inmates have it, and then it spill over to where they start knocking mugs that don't even really deserve it over their head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that definitely, you know, that definitely is a problem. And also, when you you know, when you're getting back to kids, if you are hitting your kids, it's always important to explain to them and they understand exactly why they're getting a beat. You know what I'm saying?
So what about in a what about in a grown up situation then? Y'all ain't never ran across a grown fool that just
they need a foot in their tail. Of course, but see, here's the thing. The reason why I was thinking focusing on kids, because I think if we fix it as a child, we won't it'll surprise somebody, you know, some of these issues with by the time they get into fifth grade and on up, you know, to adulthood. The issues need to be addressed and they need to be cultivated and molded from this kid, so by the time they get of age and start really acclimating into society and all off into, you know, just really mingling within society, they would have learned how to properly treat themselves and others. You know, they would have hopefully learned that. That's why I would like, because, yeah, if you're not going to be right as a kid and you don't never get these things corrected, then the chances are you being incorrect and acting inappropriately by the time you're in fifth grade is, I mean, that's probably going to happen. By the time you're an adult, if it's not correct yet, if you would probably still be in error on a lot of things that you do. So the key is to address them when they're younger. You know, like when, for instance, this is one technique that I did with my children when they were much younger, like just barely walking, not even walking, in fact. If they touched something that I didn't want them to have, I wouldn't hit their hand. You know, I say no, and if they reach for it again, then I will direct their attention so that way they're not thinking about it anymore. That way I don't have, the problem is gone then. It's only a problem when they're focused on the wrong thing. So if I redirect their focus, then it's solved. They're not messing with it. I don't have to keep saying no. I don't have to spank them. I don't keep the problem right there. Or even if it's a situation where I can't remove the problem, I've changed their way of thinking. I'll redirect something. You know, I'll change their focus where they're not focused on that.
Right.
And if you learn those types of things from a kid, and it becomes the techniques and the tactics become easier as they get older and older, because at some point that could wear off. But if you do that and you do it for a little bit of time, you still have learned some things about the child, and you may have to come up with other things. But those are the other things that you come up with, just different ways to help keep their attention focus on a positive direction, because we're going to have intentions. We're going to have things that draw us, but we have to be able to have the ability to redirect our focus to when we are focused on something that's not good for us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Agreed. So, I definitely agree with that. So, I guess, I was going to ask Mufasa, so you don't think there's no saving little Johnny here, done deal? Is it any saving old Johnny boy?
Yeah, it's some saving. There's some saving after I put hands on this kid. I get that mind right. You see, we just all have our different tactics, you know?
Right.
After, put like this, after y'all get through talking to them and counseling them and all that, if for some reason that don't work, send them my way.
No doubt.
My method can be the last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I can say that's a fair one. We can try everything else. And that last resort is like, we got to strap you down and give you a couple of lashings.
Oh, man.
What happens if that doesn't work? What happens if that doesn't work?
You really want the answer?
We want the answer. We want the answer.
Do you really? You want this answer? After a couple
collective minds want it.
A couple of lashes don't work. All I'm going to say is everybody ain't going to make it.
Oh, damn.
Everybody ain't going to make it. Might be time for little Johnny to disappear. Permanent.
Nah, you gotta find out what's wrong. You gotta find out what's wrong with
everybody. Hey, everybody ain't gonna make it. Sometimes you just,
gotta go. When did you decide that this is going to happen? Like, when did you wait on him to do something else outside of not walking out of the classroom before you decide to do that?
After he done been counseled and all that stuff, after he went through the Brother Kev and Love Lachey training program, and then he come my way, and I done lashed him and put the whopper chop on him, and he still ain't minding. That's when. It's like, okay, time for him to go bye-bye. You know, solitary confinement. Lock him away.
Boarding school.
Take him away. You got to remove them from a functional society. Because if not, he like a disease. He just infect the rest of the herd. So, after you done went through all the counseling and all that stuff and you still don't act right, we done put the belt on you, we done whooped your tail, you still don't act right, you know, then we have to isolate you from everybody else. We have to remove you because you an infectious disease. You know?
Holla.
You have other people acting out.
Caller, how do you feel about that, caller?
I feel that person going to the extreme and he's not even thinking about what he's doing. Just because you punch a kid and beat him and kill him and do all the other stuff, it doesn't mean it's going to mind. You have to change your mindset. I work with kids. I work with boys and girls who was incarcerated. It all depends on you yourself. If you treat them kids with respect, they respect you. A lot of times kids don't respect people when they don't respect them. They always say, you disrespect me. And the way you have to watch how you talk to them, you have to talk to them. Even though you have to be consistent and firm in what you're saying, you have to let them know you are the grown up and you are the child. And they have to listen to what you're saying, but it's a way to talk to them. And a lot of times, I don't care, especially with boys, sometimes with girls too. Because girls can be hard-headed.
Cool, these girls, I hear something else.
Yeah.
Especially
so lately. I know because I work with them and I understand them. But you have to know yourself and trust yourself. Because a lot of times people come to work, they had a bad day themselves at home, and then they bring that to the job. And when they get to work and you make them mad, they go off on you and they don't respect you. And so what you ask expect a kid to do? They're going to disrespect you, not talk to you and all that. I worked with kids a long time, even boys up to 18 years old, and I never had in them to disrespect because they know exactly what I stood for and how I feel about that. They would not curse around me, and they would know. They say, oh, Miss Vince is coming, do not curse. They wouldn't curse around me. They wouldn't do any of that. They always respect me as their mother, whatever they did. They always respect me. I have no trouble with them. And it all depends on you yourself, how you feel and how you treat them kids. Even the bad ones that think they're tough, they can be handled in a good way. If they
I'm talking about extreme situations.
When you say extreme,
it don't get no extreme. She worked in a prison teaching kids.
Right.
It don't get no extremer than that.
When you say extreme, you gotta see what that kid went through. I didn't talk to kids.
Right.
But that's because they isolated now.
And you have to figure out what do you call the extreme. They don't have some kids that have more trouble as the young people than older people had all their lives.
But
rough at times.
But that's what I'm saying. Like you working in a prison. Like you working in a prison, see what I'm saying? They've been isolated now. They've been removed from a situation in a normal setting with other children. So that's why I was saying that you have to take
them
away.
It wasn't isolated. I was in the program. I wasn't in the hard prison, court prison. I wasn't in that kind of prison. But they was in the program. They wasn't isolated. They was around other people. And sometimes they got into fights and stuff like that. They wasn't isolated. There was no isolation there. And that's they going to lock up. And then we did have to put some kids in lock up. They had to stand there, and lock up was terrible.
But the caller brought up an important point. It's important to understand, like, why is this child continuously behaving like this? You got to communicate and see exactly what's wrong, because just like the teacher could be having a bad day at home, the child could also be going through something at home and coming to school and just acting out, because, you know, nobody wants to get in trouble. Nobody wants to go to jail and do all these things. Like, it's certain things that be going on that causes situations and causes kids and people to act up. But it's important to understand why. That way you can kind of remedy the situation. But everybody's situation is different. Everybody don't come from two-parent homes and, you know.
And that's true. That's why you have to handle each kid different. You can't handle Johnny the same way as you handle Dan, because Johnny might be a little harder to handle than Dan. Johnny may went through more things than Dan went through, so you have to look at the situation and find out exactly how to deal with this kid. And if you take your time and study these kids, you can find out how to deal with each one of these kids. It's like your own kids. You know how to deal with each one of your kids. Some of them going to listen, some of them not going to listen. You know how to deal with the one that don't listen. You know what you have to do. And that's where it is with every kid. But you have to give them a chance. You can't say all of them is going to grow up to be hard-headed murderers and killers and not listen and do all this. You have to find out what's
going on. I'm not saying that.
I know you're not. I know.
I'm just saying some of them.
But you
I'm just saying the ones that don't want to.
Are erasing them from the earth.
Yeah, you know, that's just a fine, you know, that's the last resort, final straw, when they just still don't want to behave. You done did everything. You done tried to sit down and pray to these kids and tease them and talk nice and sweet to them, and they still want to I've seen kids that disrespect people. People try to be so nice and sweet to them, and they still want to treat the people like adults, like trash. Or each other.
It's not always about talking nice and being nice. You have to be nice within yourself. You can front. Kids know when you're fronting. You put on that, oh, darling, I love you, all that stuff. And you can put on the front, and kids know when you're not telling the truth. And so a lot of times you can be fronting.
Also, I know when you're weak, too.
Nice, and you can be fronting on that nice.
Right, true. True. But you can be stern, you can be forceful and all that without being actually physical violent.
Right, like you
know,
be like, no,
touching physical, but I think you can be stern, you can be, you know, respected, you know what I mean, without all that. But, you know.
You can't
Nice don't mean pushover. You know, you don't have to. Just because you're being respectful and nice to a kid, that doesn't mean you're being a pushover. You know, like they were saying, you can be stern.
Some take that like that. That's what I'm saying. Some kids look at it like that.
Some people do.
They can misjudge. You know, they can have a somewhat of a spiritual disconnection and totally misjudge someone and take their kindness for weakness. That is a common problem that a lot of people, not just minors have, but a lot of people in general have that issue going on anyway. We do misjudge a person that knows how to smile and say, hey, good morning, how are you? And we think they take that as a, you know, like you're a soft or you push over, you nice, and you know, they do take that in different ways. And that's unfortunate, you know. But I do think that it is better to find ways to communicate, you know, with
let me ask y'all this. So say, for instance, like Dylan Roof, you know, the young man who went and killed them church people. So are y'all saying they wrong for giving him the death penalty? Y'all think they should still try to talk to him and get him to get his mind right and saved so he can be saved?
No, no, no. Because he wasn't remorseful, though. If you look at what he was like, I did it, and he wanted the death penalty. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't. But even if he was remorseful, I think an act like that, you know, that, I mean, that warrants the death penalty, in my opinion.
So in some situations, gotta go.
I believe in the death penalty. I think it was a serious crime.
Yeah, he killed 9 people and assassinated a government official. Guy was in the government. So,
So that's what I'm saying. In some situation like this where it gets to the extreme, you just can't save everybody. Some people just got to get handed out punishment and a steep, harsh punishment.
Well, I think you can leave them to the Lord before they die. You can leave them to the Lord before they die, and you get them saved before they die, but they have to die. They have to understand that, but they still will be led to the Lord. They might repent at the end and say, but they don't. That's on them.
Oh, man, I think they might be. I don't think the Lord will still forgive Dylan Roof.
Yeah.
What was that?
I said I don't think the Lord should forgive Dylan Roof.
I think the Lord will forgive you because you said it. Jesus died for everybody, not just for the good, for the bad too. He died for everybody, so I think he will forgive you. But I think that if he repents, and he will go to heaven, but he repented, but if he don't repent, then he's going to hell. That's the way I feel.
Hmm. Well, so, anybody against people like Dylan? I said, well, anybody on here be against for people like Dylan that commit these horrible acts and now this is a little far-fetched. I know we don't have a society that's set up like this yet. But to have an island, like a colony, like they used to do back in the day, back in Romans, if you caught that disease, they'll put you they call them colonies, where you was just off to your, you know, off with other like-minded people. So would you guys be against them going, you know, just going away, putting them like in a faraway place away from society and let them, you know, do them?
No, because you put them, isolate them from everybody else, and you still let them live. What's the purpose? Don't kill each other. What's the purpose? you're not solving the problem. You're creating another problem. Then who's going to take them food? Who's going to take them clothing? Who's going to do all the other stuff and make sure they do right? No. That's not going to solve the problem. Solving the problem is death. If they do something serious, get them saved. If they want to get saved, they can. They don't. It's death. That's all I can say. I really believe that because then everybody will start thinking, "Oh, I don't want to die yet. I'm not going to do this crazy crime." Why would you do something like that? What did the people do to them? No, you took lives away. You have to die.
You have to.
Right.
Go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in favor of
corporal punishment. Corporal punishment.
It all depends on how you're using it.
Gotta go.
That way, when somebody killed more than, even they kill one person, they taking someone's life. And unless they really, really repent and give their life to the Lord and become a priest or something. I don't know. I'm not trying to be funny. Not become a priest, because priests do crazy stuff too. But, I think the safer way to do it, if they don't repent and kill them. I believe in corporate punishment. I believe in death, the death row. That's all I can say. I really do. I'm strong on that.
Okay, so repenting. The purpose of the repenting thing is just for after death.
an accident is different.
I'm saying after the purpose of the repenting is for the sake of that person for after the death penalty has come. Because if they change, so you think if they change, they still shouldn't be in society? Death is the only way to punish them.
But listen, how will you know intention that that person will be in change? When you said change, when you talk, how long do you know it's going to change? Okay, someone said, I'm changing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have the poor.
Right.
I'm going to do that.
Right.
How do you know they're really going to do that? I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
to make life easier. You ain't got to worry about it. If they kill people, they die.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Don't put them on
no
island.
I'm not saying like that. Let them repent if they want to. If they don't, they still die. But if they repent, they have a chance to save themselves. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
save themselves in the spirit world, not in this world.
Right, baby.
Right.
Right. And if you're talking about isolating them and you still got to feed them. Somebody got to go out there and they're going to kill you or something.
Ain't nobody got time. Hey, Tanya, that's like roaches. That's like making an island, you know, putting some roaches and they start breeding and getting bigger and festering. Just stomp them out. The roaches have got to go.
I'm not talking about being that cruel of being me. Just stomp them out.
I am.
I'm not talking about that. Pray with them, talk to them, and then they have to die.
Man, I ain't got time to pray to Dylan. As far as I'm concerned, he could have got it on the way to the. As soon as they picked him up, they could have got rid of him right then and there.
Oh no, you that's true. I ain't been that rough.
Yep, they could have got rid of him right on the spot. I remember like back in the day, you know, I can think of a lot of acts that people have done. When then you know, they get to sit in jail for a while and think about it. No, what you did was. Jeffrey Dahmer, why are we housing this fool? He done ate people.
Right.
I mean, just go ahead and you ain't no coming back from that. They should have just, got rid of him ASAP.
But some people say that the death is the easy way out, and maybe they should
punish them. Punish them. Give them extra. Corporal punishment, then beat them before they die.
No. Just go ahead and let them die. If that's the easy way out, let them take the way out. Let it be easy. But at least you don't have to worry about feeding them and clothing them and all the other stuff you have to do. And then you're talking about all the money go to the prison people and the schools need help and everybody else need help. But here you're building jails and prisons and building all this stuff for these people to stay on death row. For all their life. Well, what's the thing about how to survive all their life on death row? You ain't did nothing. 15 years on death row. That don't make no sense.
No, it don't.
And that person ain't repented, did nothing, and he's still on death row. That don't make no sense at all. I don't understand that.
Get rid of them.
Well, I'm not saying it mean as you're really saying it mean. I'm trying to be nice by pray for them, pray with them, and let them repent if they want to, and then the job is done.
Right.
That's what's going on now. In other countries, they don't go through all this stuff.
So let me ask you this, Carla. So, like, in countries where people keep on stealing stuff, they chop your hands off. You think that's going too far?
That's going way too far. Now, how that works, they have to go to the bathroom.
You really think so? You think that's going too far? I mean, if you got somebody that just will not stop stealing, they just keep stealing.
Fine.
They won't stop stealing.
You say they got to go to the bathroom.
How they go wipe themselves?
No.
You start with one hand.
You cut
one hand off.
I don't believe in that. I told you I believe that the person do a horrible crime, they die. Now, if somebody steals something, eventually they're going to end up killing somebody, then they go to death row and they die. But not cutting their hands off. I don't believe that.
Now, some people are just habitual thieves. They can't stop themselves. But when they lose their hand.
There ain't no such thing as you can't stop yourself. You are in control of your own body. You control, after what people say, the devil made me do it. The devil can't control you. You control your own self. If you do it, you do it because you want to, not because somebody else.
Why don't you make a sandwich, you think? Yeah, it's like kleptomaniacs, like them kleptomaniac people that won't stop stealing. But I bet if their hands get chopped off, if one of them hands get chopped,
they're still with the other hand.
That'll fix that.
They're still with the other hand. You're going to cut both the hands off?
Right.
Yeah. That's the next step. Yeah. The first,
dealing with their feet.
Well, you might
first, the first hand
chop,
go. Then
you
start stealing again, the other hand
but
go.
You go ahead and chop them up piece by piece. If they look at a woman, cut his eyes out. Go ahead and do that. If they walk where they're gambling and drugging, cut their feet off. You might as well go ahead and do all. Chop them up. Chop them up.
I'm
double checking
those body parts.
I know. I'm a second
right.
Everybody, okay? The skin color.
We appreciate you calling.
All right,
thank you,
so caller.
All right, thank
yeah,
you.
We
I'm
appreciate
a second night. Fuck you.
All right,
good night.
Okay.
Peace.
All right. Good night.
Yeah, yeah.
They ain't gonna need anybody to blow their nose, toy.
Oh well.
Right, how they go wipe theirself, Mufasa?
That's on them.
Good.
Quick.
And who gonna feed them?
Right.
I guess they gonna starve to death.
Have you ever been falsely accused of stealing?
Yep, one time.
Now, what if that was your rule was in place? And your hand got chopped off and you ain't even do it.
I'm in trouble.
He's like, you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble, y'all.
Yeah, that'd be my only thing. I said before this. Those that's falsely accused, you know.
Yeah.
Have to have strong, cold evidence. And then it's like, okay, then you're going to have to go back to saying, well, why? Why did they do it? You know,
right.
What if the person say, my baby is hungry? I don't have no food, so I had to.
Now you are disabled.
This is my last resort. I had to steal.
Right, right. Yeah, the question
then
is always why.
Then under those circumstances, who decides,
yeah.
Okay, well, you still got to get your hand cut off.
Right. Nah, see.
Everybody got to follow the rules.
So if that's the case,
nah, the rules ain't always good. Good.
You have
yeah,
to find another way. You got to find
everybody.
Another way.
Yeah.
That's all. You have to find another way. I mean, that's because you having hard times. I mean, you should go stealing from people. I might be having a hard time too, but I'm out here doing what I can do to survive the right way. But you gonna come steal from me? Now you hurting me. So that ain't my fault.
It ain't my fault. Right, we know it's not your fault if somebody's child is starving. We know that, but I'm
right.
Saying when people's back is against the wall, they is probably doing the same thing you would do under those circumstances. I'm saying at some point we gotta where's the compassion and empathy. The empathy, you know, because that could be
hey.
You know, what was you?
You better sell some drugs or sell some tail. But
if you're stealing,
your hand getting chopped off. You better go sell some
tail.
And if you falsely accuse, your hand getting chopped off too. So if I don't like you, I can just be like, Mufasa stole all my stuff.
You still got to have a hearing, you know. I mean, you still got to prove that. But if it's proven that you stole it, your hand got to go.
Even if it's wrong.
Even if it's wrong.
Ah, oh, no.
We don't know what's wrong. You got you. It was proven. You had your day before the court, and it was proven that you stole it. Your hand got to go.
Mm-hmm.
That sends a message throughout the land. If you even thinking about it, like, man, they got Bobby. He ain't even do it. I know I ain't trying. I'm trying to make sure I ain't in a situation like that. Well, they thought I stole something. Oh, no.
Nah, I think people are still, though. Because look at, we got laws and stuff in place now for murder and death row, and people still do them same crimes and still go to jail. So I don't know if that would prevent people from stealing, per se. I think some fools will still.
Yeah, they'll be handless, too.
Yeah, if they got caught.
They're going to be handless. We sure going to know who the thief is. Because they're going to be walking around begging people to put stuff in their mouth. Yeah. Can you please prepare my plate for me? I got caught stealing twice. I ain't got no hands.
Yeah, now if you do it twice, then something wrong. Like the one hand, cool, but I ain't finna get caught up again.
Well, if you get caught up again, I mean, and clearly that seems like you sick. So do you just kill them after that?
Right,
yeah.
Clearly something wrong with you.
Yeah.
If you don't want both your hands.
Yeah, you just got to go.
Wow.
You just got to go. Yeah, I mean, that keeps the herd under control, keeps the disease and sick away, you know, all the problem child, you know, streamlines the herd. That's all I'm saying.
Keep on playing
with these fools, and they out here wilding out, acting a fool, can't get their minds right, playing games because they know they're just going to get a little slap on the wrist. No, you ain't getting no slap at the wrist. You about to get cut at the wrist. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be too scared of putting on that.
Some people lose their heads in some societies. They be doing some stuff, they get beheaded. You be like, what are you gonna? They know you finna go to life. Off with your head right in the street. Bye bye. Moving on.
But again, if these certain types of behaviors and was addressed from a young kid, then I think we won't have so many of the the issues like that, you know. And Even with Jeffrey Dahmer, people like that, I'm sure they show signs that people had just ignored and overlooked. You know, we have to still be able to be, we have to be sensitive with what we see, so we can recognize. So going back to what we're saying.
If it didn't get caught, we're not going to get rid of this guy, Jeffrey Dahmer, Dylan Roof, for whatever reason, they slipped through the cracks and they made it. We ain't just going to go and get rid of him. We're just going to try to rehabilitate him. That's what you're saying?
I'm okay with rehabilitating. I'm okay with trying because People can change.
So you feel like Jeffrey Dahmer should have got rehabilitated?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I wouldn't be against it if they wouldn't have attempted to talk with him. You know, definitely still in isolation. But, for somebody like him too, though, I'm not against them saying, nah, we just going to have to put you in this chair. Or you know, shoot you with one of these drugs. I wouldn't be against that.
Serial killer.
Yeah, serial killer, because they harm in society and they're unpredictable, things like that. So, you know, when you're dealing with people that's unpredictable, I wouldn't be mad if they chose to strap the man down to the chair, if that was what
happened. Yeah, good riddance. Good riddance.
Yeah,
we ain't got to strap him down to the chair. We could spend 3 cents on a bullet. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
all these humane, so called humane ways costing money. Man, just put a 3 cent bullet in them. Bye bye.
Like I said, even when he was a kid, that's what I'm saying. If these things are addressed when we're grown. When we're children and babies,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it helps us in the long run.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, I just
right.
think that it helps in the long run.
That's why I'm not in disagreement with what you're saying. I say, yeah, go through all that. You know, try to do that. My saying is, when all that fails, bye bye, rock a bye, baby. That's what I'm saying,
buddy. Rock a bye.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
kid.
I think Jeffrey Dahmer and Dylan Roof. I think they're a wrap. It's a wrap on them because I don't think. Well, I know Jeffrey Dahmer dead, but Dylan Roof already admitted to it. Like I said, he didn't show no remorse.
Ain't he on death row?
So I think, he's on death row, but. I think they're trying to appeal or something. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I think he is on death row. But
mm-hmm.
he ready, like he didn't want to, you know, he didn't show no remorse. So I think with him, it's a wrap. With Jeffrey Dahmer, it was a wrap. Mm-hmm. I think he was done, and there was no rehabilitating now.
Like what about let's say them two dudes who was going around sniping people out their trunk back in the '90s? Remember that?
You talking about John Muhammad and Malvo? Malvo. Yeah.
They going around killing folks. I mean, you think we should? I know they failed. Unfortunately, they slipped through the cracks. So, ain't no need in playing on trying to rehabilitate them. You done killed I don't know how many people. I mean, ain't no need in us trying to sit you down. Just bye bye.
Yeah.
They was trained government assassins.
You say what? Mm-hmm.
No, I said they was trained government assassins. Because Don Muhammad was in the military. There was all type of stuff going on with that.
But
the only reason why I be hesitant. Yeah, I just be hesitant because I know how our justice system, especially in this country, is so lopsided. So that's why I be hesitant to be like, you know, death penalty or we need to throw the book at them and no rehabilitation because I know how many times black people have been falsely accused under this system. You dig what I'm saying? So that's why I be a little reluctant because I know it's not all fair. And every case ain't the same. You know what I'm saying? It's just not all equal. Like some people within this society can get away with stuff, and black people get falsely accused more often than not. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the way I be kind of looking at it. Like if it was instituted to where you would chop off your hands for stealing, it'd be so many black people with one hand or no hands just based on on false accusations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm like.
But I'm looking at that corporal punishment should be for everybody. So that system would have to be fixed. So that's another problem. But if I'm running the show, I'm giving out equal opportunity hands getting cut off. Anybody get their hands chopped. if I'm running the show.
Well, we just got time. Anybody. I think we got time to try to take one caller.
Yeah.
Let's try 314-755. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Hey, Paul,
thanks for calling in.
Thank you for receiving my call again. I'm late. I missed a lot of it because I'm just getting off of work. But you all pardon me for that. But I know that the conversation was on. The discussion is dealing with the capital punishment budget. Am I right?
I'm hearing back feedback.
Hold on. Capital punishment, and I know you don't. Can you hear me?
Well, corporal punishment, not capital punishment. Corporal.
Well, we did just talk about capital
punishment. We were just talking about capital punishment. Physical punishment that comes to like children, like spankings and whoopings, or even adults too, for that matter, if they commit crimes, how they do. They administer corporate punishments in some areas, like chopping off hands and feet and things like that.
Most father, no, I'm not. I think that might be a little bit extreme as far as children is concerned, but I think that I do believe in not sparing the rod. And I guess because I'm a religious man, I believe that to spare the rod is to spoil a child. And what I mean by rod is a child should receive chastisement. You know, the way a child is brought up, and of course, and I know that sometimes we go too far to the left and too far to the right either way. But I believe that there should be a balance, but there definitely should be discipline. And I don't know how far you all got along in the discussion, but I believe that that's a principle in which we seem like in our society, in our generation, is doing away with. You know, we have more children that are brought up by children, actually, young people having children. And they have missed the fundamental principle of everybody sticking together the way it once. I mean, I'm not trying to. I'm just saying it was we had a better system in the past, especially as a race, black race of people. We had a better system. We all stuck together and raised that child and made sure even neighbors looked after your children and made sure that they did the right thing. They were allowed to correct that child and make sure that that child was doing the right thing, and not just the parents, but when the neighbors as well. So they both showed that child a lot of love. That there was no place for that child to run as far as doing anything that's rebellious. You know, so I'm.
So you believe that it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I believe that. I believe it takes the efforts of everybody sticking together, you know, and if we do that, then we will box in evil, and it won't be able to flow fluently like it's doing now in our children, because everybody, a joint effort of everybody sticking together saying the same thing. But you can't have somebody saying one thing in school and then somebody else saying something else when you get home, and then somebody else saying something else among the peers, their peers. And everybody saying, but if all of us, we can crush that peer, even the peer pressure, if we stick together as adults and be on one accord against all wrongdoing.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely want everybody being on one accord. That conflict of interest definitely. I think what you said is very important. When you have one person saying this and another, you know, at home they saying that, like you said, peers, that is definitely a conflict, you know, which creates problems. So I told you, I can understand that. I think that's a good point.
Yes, ma'am. That's why I was just saying that. I think that we all should join together on the side of right. And we must make a conscious, moral conscious decision on what's right from what's wrong. You know, divide the wrong from the right and make a conscious and make it very clear what's wrong and the standards of right and wrong and what's wrong and stand with those principles. the principles of right and wrong. And I think this, our generation has been is confused about what right and wrong, the foundation of right and wrong, what it is. You know, we're confused about that. You know, that bothers me. You know, we're confused about it. And if we actually really, really get together, understand, I'm going to make it clear, unequivocally clear to our children that, look, this is the wrong line. You don't want to cross this line. You don't want to hang with the wrong group. You don't want to, you want to succeed. You don't want to do anything that will cause you failure or to set you back, you know. So it's a lot involved in it. I'm just, you know.
Indeed. Yeah, you made some good points, Carla. But I mean, I think unfortunately, as parents, we got to battle up against society, the world, this culture, the media, TV, music. It's just so much that you got to go up against as a parent that you definitely want to make sure that you instill, you know, some type of foundation, you know, within your kids and certain boundaries that they just don't cross, you know. But again, that's kind of hard to do, like I say, with society as a whole and everything that's promoted to our kids. Sometimes it's difficult to do that. But, you know, I do believe that if you start early, like we've been saying the whole show, as far as solutions, if you start early with your kids, talk to them, communicate, figure out what's going on in their head, why they acting out, you know, is it for attention? Is it because they
actually get to
depressed?
Know your kids.
Because they missing some? Yeah, get to know, ask questions.
Know your kids.
Yeah, listen to your kids, and you can avoid having to use, you know, physical punishment as they get older. So, you know, I just think it starts early, and you know, we all can do a better job with that. But we got like 4 minutes left in a live stream. We appreciate all the callers.
Thank you.
I'm gonna give my last words to my other host, Love Lachey and Mufasa Ra. Last words, Collective Minds Radio. What y'all want to say?
Okay. Well, I just like to say that appreciate everybody for calling in. We had a lot of good points. This still is a tough one for me because I agree with a lot of the callers and a lot of the. My co-host said a lot of the points that were made. I still feel like if we're going to do any type of physical discipline, I do think that that responsibility bears on the parents. That's in the ideal world too, though. So I understand that you have absent parents and other people may be raising kids. So I'm saying in the ideal world, I guess, parents need to take their responsibility and do what they need to do as parents. And if that is done correctly and the parent is there and raising a child and learning the child and implementing these things from a kid on, I think it will help our society in the future. I think it helps for the better. If in some cases, because we do know that there are exceptions to the rule, when parents don't do what they're supposed to do, the kids get out of line, and then everything is chaotic in society. So whoop them in that case.
Whoop them.
Whoop.
Whoop them good. All right, Mufasa.
So we just like to thank everybody for calling in.
Whoop that child. Whoop that child. Get them. That's my last words. If they get out of line and want to behave and you got to handle your business, do what you got to do. Don't sign us out, y'all.
Collective Minds, catch us next week, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7:30, Collective Minds Radio. We out, and we appreciate it. Thank you for supporting us. Thanks to callers. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to everybody. We appreciate y'all. That 1-year anniversary coming up. Collective Minds. Peace.
As soon as success comes, yeah. All these niggas get mad. Niggas hating on the low. You don't wanna see me make it. They tryna sabotage my show. You don't wanna see me make it. Yeah. They ain't wanna shake a humble hand. Nah. Throw the iron fist. Sis gon' knock them out. Yeah. These niggas worse than these crackers.
Yeah.
They gon' make me bring them choppers out.
Bro.
They put my address on the internet.
Internet.
I swear to God, these niggas hoes.
Hoes.
Then they try to get me jammed.
They
done went and caught parole.
Goddamn.
Every time I drop a video,
yeah.
They in the comments like them.